Hello, friends. Dr. Brian here from the future, at least regarding the episode you're about to listen to. Dr. Tim and I got into a long enough conversation that we've actually decided to split this upcoming episode into two parts. So we'll be going up through about the halfway point of our discussion, and then it'll pause here, and we'll resume at that same point next week. It's a great conversation, and we hope you enjoy it. Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the latest episode of In With the Old. We're the video podcast focused on dispelling myths, building appreciation for God's Word, and helping you rediscover the Old Testament for the life of faith. We are going through our series on Ruth. Last week, Dr. Tim, was a fascinating week. Got a little risky with the plan of Naomi, and maybe even, dare I say, risque. And we're going to be continuing some of those threads and having some dialogue about how Boaz reacts to Ruth in today's episode. It's going to be fun. And let me bring you on in. How are you doing today, Dr. Tim? How do you think the series is going so far? What's been your favorite episode or kind of favorite thing we've covered?
You know, I don't think I have one thing in particular, but what I've appreciated is the way it's stretched me. You know, Ruth is something that I've read many times, I've taught many times, but just in preparing for this, there's been a freshness to it. Some things that have stretched my own thinking, caused me to go back and see some subtleties, some nuances, and of course, just seeing God's faithfulness throughout. So I've really truly enjoyed it. And my favorite thing is, I think listeners have enjoyed it as well. We've seen some good responses, some good feedback. People are listening, and so we're thankful. And I'm excited to continue on the threshing floor.
All right. Yeah, me too. It's been a fun series. Even just going through it, Tim, with you, because I think for all of us, this is a book we've read many times. We've studied it. But having that kind of other informed opinion, being able to dialogue and kick around ideas, it's been illuminating for me. And so listeners, I hope it's been just as exciting for you. In today's episode, we're finishing out chapter 3. We're getting into the home stretch. And as Tim said, we are on the threshing floor still. We're going to see Boaz's reaction starting in verse 8 and then going through the end of the chapter. So let me start by reading. We've got a lot to get through, so let's dive on in. So starting in verse 8, reading from the Christian Standard Version. At midnight, Boaz was startled, turned over, and there lying at his feet was a woman. So he asked, "Who are you?" "I'm Ruth, your servant," she replied. "Take me under your wing, for you are a kinsman redeemer." Then he said, "May the Lord bless you, my daughter. You have shown more kindness now than before, because you have not pursued younger men, whether rich or poor. Now don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do for you whatever you say, since all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Yes, it is true that I'm a family redeemer, but there is a redeemer closer than I am. Stay here tonight. And in the morning, if he wants to redeem you, that's good. Let him redeem you. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, as the Lord lives, I will. Now lay down until the morning." So she lay down at his feet until morning, but got up while it was still dark. Then Boaz says, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." And he told Ruth, "Bring your shawl that you're wearing and hold it out." When she held it out, he shoveled 6 measures of barley into the shawl, and she went into town. She went to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who asked, "What happened, my daughter?" Then Ruth told her everything the man had done for her. She said, "He gave me 6 measures of barley because he said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Naomi said, "My daughter, wait until you find out how things go, for he won't rest until he resolves this today." All right. So last time, just as a recap, listeners, Naomi hatched, right, this plan with Ruth to go into the threshing floor. And we discussed at length, if you haven't watched that episode, go back, some of the subtext and the debates around the subtext of what all is going on in that event. That subtext continues on into this story. So, Dr. Tim, let's go ahead and start. Verse 8, Boaz wakes up. What do you see happening in that verse?
Yeah, great question. And again, just as a refresher, the question at hand is Ruth making an overt sexual offer to Boaz, or is this something slightly less than that? And as we look at verse 8, Boaz is asleep. Ruth is there. Ruth is obviously making some kind of proposal, as we're going to look at in a second. But it says, at midnight, Boaz was startled. He turned over, and there lying at his feet was a woman. Okay, so why does he wake up? Well, the translation that we read says startled, but Brian, as you wrote and reminded us, the gloss here for startled really doesn't quite capture it, because that's almost right. Like, you know, I woke up and, oh, I was surprised. No, the idea here is more physical. He trembled because it was cold, and he had really almost an involuntary instinctual reaction. It's cold. I'm shivering. I'm trembling because of the cold. And then I look up to find out, well, why am I uncovered? Why am I cold? And there he sees Ruth lying at his feet. Now, Brian, we talked about this last week, but feet here could mean feet, it could mean legs, it could mean something else. So maybe you can walk us through here. What's going on here with the feet? What does that have to do with him being startled? What does it have to do with Ruth lying at his feet? Maybe walk us through here why Boaz responds the way he does.
Yeah, so as we talked about last time, the term for feet can mean literally feet, can mean legs, or it is a euphemism in Hebrew for the genital region. And I think it's important, as Tim just noted, the term isn't Boaz is startled awake. He trembles awake because he's cold. That does seem to indicate, and it could just be, you know, some portion of the leg or more has been uncovered, and it's cold at night, and he is awoken. And he wakes up to see someone at his feet. Now, there's a lot going on right here, Tim, that I find is interesting. I pulled out commentaries on this, and the rabbis never fail to provide some interesting color. The famous Rabbi Rashi, when he looks at this, said Boaz thought there was a paralysis demon at his feet, and then said, oh, no, she has hair, so demons don't have hair, so it's all okay. All right, that's maybe reading too much of the story, but it was so funny, I had to include that. But there is something interesting. Boaz wakes up, and he both knows a little bit about who's at his feet and doesn't know something about this. And don't miss this, listeners. The night is dark. And in fact, that's going to come back in verse 14, that Ruth is going to leave before people recognize who she may have been. So it's a very dark night. Boaz, though, recognizes that there's a person at his feet, whatever we take that to be, and that person is a woman. Because in Hebrew, Hebrew is a gendered language, meaning our pronouns and verbs are conjugated as masculine or feminine. When he says, who are you? He shows he doesn't actually know her identity. He's asking her, but importantly, he's asking her. He is addressing a female object, grammatically speaking, not, of course, metaphysically speaking, but grammatically, this is a feminine request. He knows there's a woman present. I think this does lean in towards there's more going on than maybe our traditional conservative readings might be comfortable with. We'll bring that back up later. But there's a key theological point I would say here, Tim. We brought up last time that Judah, Tamar, Lot, and his daughters, we've had these stories of kind of sexuality and the plans of God, and we've seen positive and negative engagement with it. Something in both those stories that they hold in common is that Judah and Lot did not know who they were about to sleep with. That's explicit in the story. Here is an interesting change, and I don't think it's accidental. Boaz does not jump straight into an action here, but stops and says, who are you? That's something absent from especially the Moabite story of Lot and his daughters. There's a pause to ask, who are you? What is going on in this story? And let's see what's happening. Now, when it says Boaz turns over, there's a question here. This is a very rare verb we have in Hebrew. It's lafath. It occurs actually only three times, Tim, which you and I both know that's an incredibly rare Hebrew verb. Does this mean Boaz was like on his back and has to, or rather on his front and has to turn over? Or does it mean literally he sits bolt upright, bends at the waist? Both are possible. It's somewhat hard to maybe tell. That would have an implication as to what we think is going on, but there's a lot going on there. But he does ask her who she is, and she reveals herself as Ruth. Now, Tim, how does Ruth introduce herself to Boaz when he asks? There's some interesting language that goes on here.
Yeah, she says, Ruth, your servant. And the word here for servant is a little bit different word than, say, when she's working in the field, whereas she essentially uses the lowest possible denominator of a servant, saying, I am less than your female servants. I'm the bottom rung on the social ladder. But here she uses a word for female servant that could potentially have connotations of a servant as in a potential wife, or a maid servant in the way that a wife would look to her husband and say, I am serving you, I am loving you, I am offering myself to you. Now, Brian, as we think about this contextually, there's no doubt, right, that this story is meant and designed to push the boundaries to their absolute limit. The question really is, where is that limit? Is it pushing it beyond it? Is it pushing us to the point of being uncomfortable, but then coming away saying, wow, we're glad nothing ended up happening that night? But there's a lot to this, and I totally agree with you about the Judah reference and kind of the foil that Boaz is to both Judah and Lot in the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. But also, we see here something that we haven't talked about yet, Brian, but it's the fact that Boaz, the night before, he was eating, he was drinking, he was waiting to be merry. Naomi explicitly says, wait until he is in good spirits. And so I think as we look to this, Boaz's response is peculiar in that he is obviously under some kind of influence of merrymaking, let us say. And yet even in that moment where he would have been, in a sense, most likely to have blurred the lines or to have allowed this to continue, we see his absolute righteous character come through. We see that with Ruth as well, where she says, I'm your servant. And her response is, take me under your wing, for you are a family redeemer. Now, just very briefly, this is an echo back even within the book of Ruth to chapter 2, whenever Boaz blesses Ruth and he says, may the Lord take you under the refuge of his wings. It's essentially as though Ruth is saying, I have come here to propose myself to you. You are the family redeemer, but I am asking you to be the very answer to your own prayer and blessing. Will you be the means, Boaz, by which God takes me under his wings? Will you take me under your wings and so be my redeemer? So even Ruth, as she boldly comes, has an incredible request of Boaz. She's not one to mince words, is she, Brian?
No, not at all.
Yeah. So what are some things that you see here as we look at verses 9 and 10?
As we look at what
contextually, what do you see, Brian?
Oh, no, sorry. Didn't mean to talk over you. I was going to ask you the question, actually, as we look at what Ruth's words are and then compare it to what Naomi asked her to do. Right. Is Ruth doing what Naomi asked her to do, or has something changed here? What do you think?
I think what Ruth is doing is demonstrating her initiative, right? Mm. As you look at Ruth, Ruth is not a lady to be pushed around, even by someone she loves like her mother-in-law. And we talked about this in one of our first episodes, Brian. Ruth has a stubborn spirit in the best possible sense of that word. Naomi pleaded with her, go back to Moab. Ruth says no. Naomi comes up with a plan, and what does Naomi say? She says, wait, and Boaz will tell you what to do. But here, Ruth, as she's in this moment, she realizes this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm going to make my intentions clear. I am your maid servant. I am dressed and ready to go. I am here with you, Boaz. Put your cover over me. Cover me with your wings, and I will be your wife. It is crystal clear. And Brian, maybe you can walk us through some of the other imagery we see in the Old Testament that uses the language of covering, wings, garments, and those kind of things. Just so our listeners know, this isn't something that we're inferring. This is about as clear as it could possibly be.
Well, yeah, we have and we've already brought up in previous episodes as well that God and Yahweh has this image of protecting Israel under its wings. But even more specifically in Ezekiel 16, God spreads his wings or spreads his skirt over Jerusalem to A, protect her nakedness, but B, it's an act of protection as a precursor to marriage. This, listeners, in some translations even put this in, Tim, Ruth is asking Boaz to marry her. This is not just as we brought up before, she is not one to just sit back passively and let things happen. She's willing to kind of force the issue. She is stubborn in the best possible way. I kind of like that, Tim. Naomi said, like, well, let's just see what happens and what Boaz will do. Naomi or Ruth is forcing the issue here. She's saying, I want you to marry me. Let's do this. Right. We are going to instantiate the kinsman redeemer relationship. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not waiting to see what do you think we should do about this situation. I'm putting forward the solution. Now, the righteous foil that she is, I think, compared to some of our previous stories, Lot's daughters did not wait to see what Lot would do. Right. Judah does not care who Tamar is and their liaison as well. Here we have a much more respectful and almost like shockingly so, right? Since Boaz is somewhat under the, shall we say, influence of merrymaking. We have this kind of more shocking presentation and how both of them are reacting. Ruth is forcing the issue, but Boaz is still in control of his faculties and doesn't just instantly blunder into some sort of rash decision. But instead, he's going to see her response, and he's going to respond in the affirmative with a caveat. And here's the key caveat. So when he starts in verse 10, may the Lord bless you, my daughter. Same term of endearment, right, Tim, that we saw in chapter 2, where he recognizes his family relationship with her. You have shown more kindness now than before, obviously alluding to the fact that she's come back with Naomi, that she is caring for her mother-in-law. He recognizes, look, you are going even above and beyond what the law could expect, what decent society could expect. Your love for Naomi is now being extended by your show of love for me and seeking out this relationship. You have not pursued younger men, whether rich or poor. Now, don't be afraid. What you have said, it shall be done. I think of the older movie, Tim, maybe you saw it as well, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. So let it be written, so let it be done, right? It's this idea of like, yeah, what you said, I agree to, with one exception. There is someone else that legally has the right to first refusal to be a kinsman redeemer. And we will have to deal with that wrinkle. Now, in Boaz's speech, there's a lot there. That was just a quick flyover. Tim, walk us through. What are some of the key things that pop out at you as you look at Boaz's reply to Ruth's proposal of marriage?
Yeah, so it's so fascinating. First, the issue of the kindness. I mean, as we think about this, I think Boaz, when he says this kindness is even greater, I think it's because he realizes that Ruth is about to go past the point of no return, right? He recognizes that Ruth has other potential options, and yet she comes to him. Perhaps he's thinking maybe he's older than she is. We've talked about this, Brian. That's kind of up in the air. It's a possibility, but
it's possible.
But it's not solid. It's not for sure. But as we think about this, he looks at her and basically says, this is the final act of being integrated into the family line of Israel. In other words, you have been called Ruth the Moabite the entire time. And in essence, until you marry an Israelite, until you are grafted back into this family tree of Israel, there's always going to be that question. Well, are her loyalties still for back home? Is she still someone who, you know, maybe when Naomi dies, maybe then she's going to head back? But this is the point of no return. Ruth is under absolutely no obligation to marry an Israelite. And yet she says, I want to marry you, perhaps marrying a man older than she is, not for her own sake, but for the sake of honoring and protecting Naomi, whose idea this was. And so I think that is so key in Boaz's mind. He realizes that this is an honorable thing. He recognizes that Ruth is not trying to put him in a difficult position. But as he responds to her, he says, you are a woman of noble character. And I think that's a key phrase. Boaz has already been described as a man of noble character, but this woman of noble character, Boaz doesn't just say, I think you're a woman of noble character. He's saying everyone, all of the people literally at the gate of the town, right? All of the people who are the elders who have looked at you, who have, you know, whispered behind the scenes, they have seen you, they have been skeptical of you, but now they've been convinced that you are the real deal. And so he says, you are a woman of noble character. And Brian, maybe you can walk us through. Are there any other instances in scripture where this woman of noble character, that same kind of description appears?